For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. This time of year is a time of harvest. Farmers realize the fruits of their labor, gather their crops, and send them to market. But several months before, the laborers sowed the seed, which is now borne fruit. In the New Testament, a man named Matthew recounts Jesus' illustration of the soils, contrasting how different soils respond to good seed. Listen now as Pastor Holland draws our attention to Matthew chapter 13.
Now today, I want to begin in Matthew chapter 13 with the first parable that we come to. It's the parables of the soils. If you have your Bibles, let's read verses 1 through 9 and get started. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He says in verse number 9, Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I do know we do have some farmers in here today, but truly, a farmer is one that could appreciate the story that I'm about to give today, or the parable that we're going to begin to unfold. Literally, what Jesus did oftentimes would take the profession of the people that he was speaking to and try to draw a conclusion in order that it might help them to see what was going on. There's three significant things that we find, or three components in this parable that are of great importance. The first one we find is he talks about the sower. We would know the sower as being, in this life, being a farmer, someone that would literally go and sow the seed into the ground in order that it might come forth. But as he does, he's given us the sower in the field, spreading the seed, and he's involved in the seed spreading. Oftentimes, and I know it's done a lot different now because we've come a long way, but years ago, before they had the technology, a farmer would literally go and take a bag, perhaps on his side, even as we would broadcast today, maybe putting out grass seed. We put it in a broadcaster and spread it, and it spreads it out. But the sower, literally, in the older times, would go with a bag on his side. He would reach in, he would grab the seed, and he would throw it. Now, literally, as long as the seed was in the bag, it was of no value. But as soon as he took it and placed it in the place that it needed to be, then we understood what would happen if it fell on good ground. Somebody said, who in the story is the sower? I want to say, first of all, that literally, it really does not matter who it is. I believe the sower in this particular passage represents the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe the sower today could be any of us. I believe it can be the preacher that preaches the Word of God. I believe it can be the Sunday school teacher that teaches the boys and girls. I believe it can be the junior church workers that preach to them over there. I believe it can be somebody that just shares the gospel with somebody in this world. So literally, when we think about the sower, we must first of all understand that no matter who it represents here, literally in the world, the sower could be any of us doing what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe not so much skilled in the fact of doing it, but every child of God, I believe, is responsible to spread the gospel seed. I believe it's our responsibility to tell others about Christ. The second component that we find, Jesus speaks of the seed. Now, the seed, according to Matthew 13 and verse number 19, and if you have your Bibles open there, he said, When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which hath received the seed by the wayside. The word of the kingdom. The seed is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. It's the fact that Jesus came, bled, and died in order that we might be saved. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it speak of the quality of the seed. It doesn't need to, because the seed he's referring to here is a perfect seed. It's the greatest quality you'll find. It's everything that it needs to be. We find when we teach the Word of God, we're sowing the seed. We did it this morning in Sunday school. We sowed some seed. If you taught Sunday school this morning, you sowed some seed. And fact is, today we're sharing the Word of God, and the seed is the gospel. It's the message of the love of Christ. It's the message of His death, burial, and resurrection. It's the message that Jesus will save those who will call upon His name. Now, it needs no alterations. It needs no adjustments. All it needs is us to cast the seed in order that it might take upon good ground. Friend, I tell you today, never apologize for spreading the seed, because God said His word would not return void. And truly today, we can sow the seed. So we find, first of all, the sower. And now understand, these components are important. Without the sower, the seed will not be sown. Second of all, we have the seed, which is the Word of God, and it must be spread. It must be given out. The third component speaks of the soil in which the seed is planted. Now this is of all this, understand, the sower is of great importance. The seed is of great importance. But the soil is also of great importance because of what transpires when it is placed. First of all, I want you to look with me in verse number 4, where we see some of the soil that was packed. The Bible said, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Now, the wayside refers in that day to a narrow path that was around the field. Oftentimes, when people was working, they would not literally walk in the field as much. I mean, of course, they would have to sow the seed to a certain degree. But most of them stayed on the outskirts of the field. And many times, have you ever seen a beaten down path? When you go somewhere, maybe out to a field, you can see where all the workers have walked. And because of that, it seemed as if the soil has gotten really packed down. It's become almost, if it's concrete. Now, when the seed falls upon the footpath, it could not penetrate the soil. We find it lay there in the open, and literally nothing happened because the ground was so hard, there was no way for that seed to germinate. And so while the seed lay there, the birds of the air would fly in, swoop down, and they would devour the seed before anything could take place. I think today that we see how the death and resurrection applies in our life, to understand the truth that is before us today, of how when the Word of God is given, how many people's soul, literally their hearts, are packed. I believe today that happens in people's lives when they come to the house of God. And oftentimes we come for various reasons. But I tell you, our prayer when we come to the house of God ought to be for God to speak to our heart. It ought to be that when we leave here that we would say, "Lord, do something for me today to change my life." But oftentimes people come in, and many times they may be so deeply seated in sin in their life that when the Word of God is preached, it falls on the footpath, it falls on solid ground, and therefore the seed does not take hold. It's very easy. I've been where you are. I've sat and listened, and I promise you today, the devil is a picture of the birds that come and steal the seed away. And so we find here the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed the seed. And you understand that when the sower is sowing, he many times had no control. And even though he didn't maybe intend for any of the seed to fall on that hard path, that's where it fell. And I'm afraid today, as we preach the Word of God, that there's a bunch of the seed that falls on the packed ground. And it never germinates. It never comes forth. It never produces fruit because of the hardness of the heart of people that were there. The second one we see is found in verse 5 and 6. Some of the soil was poor. We find in verse 5 and 6, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. they withered away. Stony places was common. And today, truly, if there was a farmer here and he wanted to plant a crop, he would not go out and find the place on his property that was full of rocks and stones, because even though it may appear and there may be a little bit of good soil on top, if he puts it down, it's not going to take root. It may spring up. It may get to the point of where it's blossoming and going to come forth. But literally, ultimately, the sun comes out and it withers away. Jesus explains the importance of the soil we find in verse number 20 and 21 of chapter 13. He said, "But when he hath received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." You know, Jesus was saying the kind of person that hears the gospel and gets no results of it is that person that hears it and says, "Well, that's what I need." They may say, "I want that and I need that." They may do it because of some other person. There's a lot of people today that make shallow professions of faith. It's the kind of heart that shows the signs of life from the Lord. But when Christianity doesn't turn out the way they thought it would, when it's not everything that they thought it would be cracked up to be, somehow or another, they no longer are to be found. But I want you to understand, there's many a person today that has walked down an aisle and they prayed a prayer and they said, "I want to receive the Lord because it looks so good." Let me tell you something, friend. Being saved is the greatest thing that can happen in your life. To know that you have eternal life and you're going to heaven when you die, there's nothing greater in all the world. But I do want to remind you that being a child of God is not easy street. It's not everything going your way all the time. In fact, the Bible says in this world we will suffer persecution. And yet there's many, they come, they make a profession of faith, they cry out, they say, "Lord, save me." But in their heart, they really do not believe. And when times get tough and things become difficult, all of a sudden they fall by the wayside. And they fall out of church. I'm not a judge today. I don't judge a person's salvation, but I do believe there's a lot of people that have made professions, but they didn't gain possession. And because they didn't gain possession, when times get hard and get tough, they fall by the wayside. They wither up. They dry up. You see, what happened is the seed that fell on the stony ground, it really never did get root. There was never really a spiritual life that came forth. They really never bore fruit. By the way, I believe a child of God, when he's saved, the Bible said he becomes a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, let me stop right there and say one thing. When we get saved, we're not perfect. It doesn't mean we'll never sin. It doesn't mean that we have reached perfection in our life. But what it does mean, if we're truly born again, there will be a change that will be wrought in our life. And we will be known by the fruit that we bear in what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ.
How has your heart responded to the seed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus? Have you responded with callousness, with indifference, or have you allowed the gospel to bear the fruits of God's grace in your life? You've been listening to part one of the Parables of the Soils. Join us again next week as we continue this message. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.